Well, it's good to be here on this Palm Sunday morning, just days prior to Good Friday and Easter Sunday. It's not long. There's a word that's often associated with Palm Sunday, and anybody want to tell me what it might be? Hosanna. Hosanna is a word that somehow we associate quite often with Palm Sunday. Along with hallelujah, it is often thought of as a declaration of praise, but did you know that actually the word, the meaning of Hosanna is a declaration, or actually, sorry, it's a plea for salvation. Deliver us. The Messiah is here. Yes, we understand it as a declaration of praise, but it's more than that. So just for the sake of a little bit of... When I say Hosanna, I want you to repeat back to me Hosanna as loud as you can. Hosanna.
Hosanna.
That's not bad. Let's do this one more time. Hosanna.
Hosanna.
Okay, keep that in your back pocket for a moment. I want you to turn to Matthew 21. I want to read part of the triumphal entry of Palm Sunday. And when I say the word Hosanna, I want you to say back to me what you just said. Matthew 21. As they approached Jerusalem and they came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went, and they did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they placed their cloaks on them. And Jesus sat on them. And a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna!
Hosanna!
To the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna!
Hosanna!
In the highest." And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" And the crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your Son, Jesus, who we can praise and adore, but also who came for our salvation, to deliver us. He came as the Messiah. There were some that understood and some didn't, and I want to pray this morning that as we just look into your word, as we speak about what you have asked me to share, that these would be words that, Father, we would hear and take to heart and learn from. And Father, there might be some truth in here that might just touch us and speak to us. And so I thank you, Father, for this morning. Will you bless our time as we continue to worship? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Anybody here ever dream? Or maybe I should ask, who has never dreamt before? We all have dreams, don't we? Dreams are fascinating. They can be somewhat bizarre at times, but they can also be quite real and speak to us. And there are those times when maybe we are not dreaming, but we wake up at night and we just can't sleep. You know, I find it interesting that God finds those times during our dreams and also when we just sort of wake up and can't go to sleep as times to kind of speak a thought, or a lesson, or a song, or something that maybe he's asking us to consider. It was a couple of months ago that I woke up and I just couldn't sleep. Kept my head on my pillow, though, hoping that I would fall asleep shortly, but I didn't. It wasn't a dream, but it was at that moment that God said, you know what, here's something I'm asking you to share about at your next hockey chapel. And he gave me a word, and it was rest. Now, when God gives us something, even in Scripture, he doesn't reveal it all. And I kind of went like, rest, huh? See, we were on a different track with our chapel topics, and rest just didn't somehow fit into that. And he just said, I said, just relax, Mike, just relax and just hear me out a little bit. But just for a moment, think of that word rest. When I've got that word rest in my head, then I figured, you know what, I better go to the definition and see what it says. And this is what it says in the definition of rest. To cease work or movement in order to relax, refresh oneself, or recover strength. Or be placed or supported as to stay in a specific position. And I thought, okay, rest didn't make any sense. Like, if you want me to share this in chapel, how does that fit with their life or their hockey career that's going on now, or even just faith? And he says, I'm not asking you to share rest in the way that maybe we commonly understand it. He says, I want you to share it in a different way, in a little different spin on the understanding of rest. And so I went back to the definition, and in the definition there are these words: to ease up, to let up, to slow down, to take a break. That's the part God was saying, I invite you to share and talk about to the guys at chapel. There's a positive side to rest, but sometimes it may appear that there is a side where we're a little apathetic. You see, sometimes people can be resting or just satisfied, as the sermon title indicates, meaning they're kind of happy with where they're at. We could say maybe that they're content. And just for a moment, think about that. What might you just be content with? You're just happy the way things are. And let that just sort of kind of percolate for a little bit. And see where God maybe speaks into that. What are you finding that you might be just a little content with in life? Now, it's not bad to rest. But maybe, just maybe, there is more that God wants to do in your life and my life. More that you and I could be striving for. Maybe a little bit more that he is calling us to. That night as I lay there, it actually kind of stayed for about an hour. Along with that word, he began to give me examples of what I could share. And I began to think about my hockey time when I was younger. And there were some names that came to mind of people that I thought could have accomplished a lot more, particularly in hockey, that could have gone a lot further if they hadn't just settled, if they hadn't just been content for where they were at. These are guys that I played with when I was playing senior hockey, but when I was younger, they had had opportunity to play in junior hockey, some of them for the Winnipeg Jets, which was a junior team at that point. It wasn't the NHL team. And they went to camp, and they were incredible there. But they're from a small town, and I'm not sure what drew them back. They had the gifts, they had the abilities, they had the talents to go way further than junior hockey. They chose just to come home. I just want to play at home. I don't want to pursue that. And I thought, wow, there are guys that would give their all to be in your shoes. You have something that no one else has or very few people are gifted at. I played a year in BC, and there was a gentleman that actually signed with the Montreal Canadiens for $400,000, which was incredible at that time. He decided to come back home to Vancouver and be a firefighter. Not that being a firefighter is bad or coming home necessarily was wrong, but I wondered, did he settle? Why? What brought him back? Was he just content? Sometimes it's rather sad to see it when people have the opportunity or the skill set that they could miss out. And not just sport. It could be relationship. It could be your job. It could be in things that you just love playing. Then there's the flip side. There are some people that don't have the full skill set. And yet, they're not just satisfied with where things are at. They work hard. They go the second mile. They achieve things beyond what people would even think they could accomplish. They're not just satisfied. They want to accomplish and achieve something. When I was 18, I played with a young man who was 2 years older than me. We were playing senior hockey at that point. This was a gentleman that was a very good friend. He didn't have great hockey skills, but boy, did he work hard. There was one particular season, actually two of them, where even though he wasn't that skilled, we were playing a team in the playoffs that was much better than we were. In fact, they had a couple of guys, particularly one, that was their star. Scored goals by the bucketful. This friend of mine, his job, his assignment, along with one other centerman, was to shadow this particular individual, to shut him down. Just follow him around like he was a fly, kind of stuck to him. You know what? He did that. They did that. We won a championship. In fact, we won 2 years in a row. But this was a gentleman who worked hard. This guy went the second mile. He studied the opposition. He came to play every night. But it wasn't just in sport that he did that. See, this was a character quality that he exhibited in his relationships. This was a character quality he exhibited when he went to work. This is a character quality that was about who he was as a person. Unfortunately, when he was 21, he died. Married 2 months. My best friend died of a heart condition. And I was lost. But what an incredible example he was. Because he was never just settling. He was never just satisfied with kind of mediocre. What an incredible example he was to me. If we look at Scripture, there's an individual in the Bible who went that second mile, and you probably don't have to guess who that was. It's Jesus. God's only Son, who entered the world as a baby. He had a mission, he had a purpose, and he worked hard. Yes, he rested, but numerous times we will see that he didn't just settle. If you turn to Mark chapter 6, it was in the middle of his ministry time that there's one particular story that really demonstrates what Jesus was all about, and that he didn't just settle, that he had a purpose and a mission. Jesus feeds the 5,000, Mark chapter 6, verse 30. Let me read some of that for you. The apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour, and he told him all that they had done and taught. And then Jesus said, "Let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while." It was emotionally draining. They'd been walking, they'd been sharing, they'd been doing stuff. Yeah, they were tired. And he said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. So they decided they left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone. But many people recognized them and saw them leaving. And people from many towns ran ahead along the shore and got ahead of them. And Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so he began teaching them many things. Late in the afternoon, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's getting late. Let's just send the crowds away so that they can go to a nearby farm and village and buy something to eat." And then Jesus does something that they're kind of going like, "You feed them." With what? They asked. "We have to work months to earn the money to go buy all the food for these people." Jesus said, "How much bread do you need? Go find it." And they came back and reported, "We have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And Jesus told the disciples to have the people sit down in groups on the green grass. And so they sat down in groups of 50 or 100. And you know the rest of the story. Jesus took the bread and broke it and the fish and blessed it. And everyone ate and they had more than they needed. You know what? It would have been easy for Jesus and his disciples, probably for you and I, just said, "You know what? Our day's been full. My life is full. Let's just go and they'll take care of themselves." But Jesus became the planner, the organizer. He could have taken the easy route instead and rested. Instead, he said, "No." I'm sure his disciples probably weren't too happy with him, at least for a while. But he worked hard and he thought of others. He went the second mile. Jesus sacrificed. And you and I know that as Easter is coming, he sacrificed to the point where he gave up his own life for you and for me. Yes, he had a moment when he felt maybe there's another way. I've done enough. But as we read in Luke 22, it says this: "Then accompanied by the disciples, Jesus left the upstairs room and he went as usual to the Mount of Olives. And there he told them, 'Pray that you will not get into temptation.' And then Jesus walked away about a stone's throw and he knelt down and he prayed, 'Father, if you're willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will be done, not mine.' And then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him." You see, he had that moment. It's like, do I really need to? Do I have to go through with this? Then he realized, yes, there is more. I need to finish. I can't just settle. And then Easter happened. Since this dream occurred over two months ago, I personally have been on a journey of some hills and valleys. You could say looking to rediscover and strive for what I'm hungry for or what God is asking or inviting me to pursue. A couple of weeks ago, I ran into a man who was an NHL player. His name is Ryan Walter, and he's written a book called Hungry. He's a Christian. He played in the NHL for 15 years and did well. His book is about your inner game, which is about who you are as a person and discovering the value you have, and your outer game, how you affect other people around you, and your team game. And it's been an inspiration to me as I've been through some of these hills and valleys, along with just some listening prayer, to see God at work. This morning, I ask you this question. Where in your life have you chosen to be content or just satisfied? There's places in my life that I have done that. Are you happy with where you're at? Or has God's Holy Spirit maybe been doing a little bit of nudging? Now, I want you to be careful, because it's easy for me and it's easy for us often to go, I'd like someone else to change. I'd like that situation to change. But when Jesus is talking about going the second mile, about sacrificing, it's first and foremost about me, about us. So it's not what you think someone else should do, but what is God calling you to do? We can rest in what where we're at or just be content. What will help you get to the next level? In your walk with God, in your relationships, in your job, in the sport or activity that you participate in. See, God is concerned about our whole being, about everything we do. We're here to worship, but in a little while, we're going to walk through those doors and life is going to engage us again. But God doesn't want us just to have us encounter him here, but to go with us out there. Will you have to give up something or sacrifice something? Yeah. Jesus did. Taking time to exercise, making personal time with God, spending intentional time with your family, working on employee-employer relationships, or wherever else you may find yourself. Yes, it will mean some sacrifice, maybe giving up something. But if we want a true relationship with God and our faith walk, it's important. In the scripture we read at the end, it says, an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. I sincerely believe that if you ask God for the strength, the courage, and the wisdom, he can and he will be with you on this journey. You see, he was with Jesus. Yes, it was his one and only son. But he died for you and me. Will you let him? Will you choose that journey? Because it's a journey. Do you want to see your life stirred and see Jesus afresh? Yes, you need to rest when you're physically tired. But I hope and pray that you and I don't settle or rest for just good enough, especially in our relationships with God and others. In the triumphal entry, it says, when Jesus entered the Jerusalem, this is verse 10 and 11, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? But there were a group of people that said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Jesus wants to meet you and I afresh. He wants you and I to thrive. An easy road? No. Not always. But I believe if we do three things, we can see God thrive in our lives. In our spiritual life, in our relationships, things we love to do, our jobs. First one's this. Listen to what God is calling you to do. That will make a lasting impact for you. Because if you work on yourselves, and that's what Ryan Walter talks about. You work on you, the rest will have an impact. You will affect the rest. So listen to what God is calling. Second, pray and ask how he'd like to accomplish that in your life. And thirdly, tell someone. Don't do this alone. You just keep it up here, and it's probably not going to go too many places. But God wants to work in your life. God wants you to thrive. I believe that that's our desire. Our desire is to just live more than ordinary lives, but to thrive. And Father, it's Palm Sunday. Easter is coming. Remembering you dying on the cross for us and being raised again. And I pray, Father, that we will listen to your voice. And we will find places, Father, that maybe we're just content in. And Lord, help us not to be just satisfied. Help us to thrive for more. And we leave this place, Father, work in our hearts. Speak to us that one thing maybe that you would like us just to pursue, to have more of a passion for. So, Father, as we leave this place, we don't leave without you. We leave with you. You've given us and you will give us strength and courage and wisdom. And so go with us, Father, into this week, not only as we prepare for Easter, but as we live out our lives which you desire to live through us. And may you be honored and gloried. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Blessing on you as you have a great spring break and Easter time.